Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Bauer. I'm Secretary of the California Council of the Blind, and I want to welcome everybody back to session three of our convention in person and on Zoom. So greetings to everybody listening out there, either on Zoom or on ACB Media 8. And we're so glad all of you can be here, and we're just loving being in person, many of us. We've got some great stuff for you this afternoon, and we're going to get started. For our first speaker will be the director of the California Department on Aging, Susan Damaris.
Thank you, Steve, and hello, everybody. Good afternoon. I am Susan Damaris, and I am honored to be included today in your program. I currently serve as the director of California's Department of Aging. I was appointed into this position by Governor Gavin Newsom about a year and a half ago. I want to thank Sarah for the invitation and for helping to support me coming out today, but also, we kind of flip-flopped because I was in Fresno this week in her neighborhood, and now she's up here in my neighborhood. So thank you, Sarah, for coming out this week. We had a roundtable about older adult behavioral health, and Sarah was there to join us. Thank you. So I was asked today to talk about California's Master Plan for Aging. If you've heard of the Master Plan for Aging, please raise your hand. Hey, all right. If you're aging, please raise your hand. Okay.
I'm up here too.
My hand's up too. We're all aging. You know, something I appreciate about Sarah coming out this week is one thing that the Master Plan for Aging has done in California is we're starting to show up for each other in the aging and disability communities. And I think the Master Plan for Aging is part of that, where we're learning from one another, we're supporting one another, and we're really focusing on the similarities and the common experiences that people have, and trying to use our collective voice to change things for everyone. Our communities have waited many, 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 many years to have a governor in place that cares about aging and disability and equity, to have a legislature in place in the Senate and the Assembly that cares about aging and disability and equity. And we have some resources that we've never had before in our state that are helping us take some action. I wanted to update you on where we are in the Master Plan for Aging. Right now, we're starting year three. This is a 10-year blueprint for our state, and it's a cabinet level effort. So this is something that involves health and human services. It involves housing. It involves labor, transportation, parks, environment. Everybody has a part in the Master Plan for Aging. We work very closely with the Department of Rehabilitation. I saw that Joe Xavier was here this morning having coffee. Anna Acton, who some of you may know, is a key part of it. Jeff Tom, I think Jeff is here in the room. Yeah, there you are. I see Jeff. Jeff was instrumental in development of the Master Plan for Aging. Thank you, Jeff. He represented you in person, made sure that the council was represented, made comments, attended meetings. So when we came up with the five bold goals of the Master Plan for Aging, the first one is housing for all ages and stages. And that is a big issue. I'm so proud in our state that was the first goal. Right now, the fastest growing unhoused population in our state is people who are 50 and older. Really? And most of them have a disability. And it's a combination of not having enough housing, affordability. There may be behavioral health and substance use disorder issues. So housing for all ages and stages is our number one goal. Oh, here comes Joe Xavier now. Hi, Joe.
Nothing like trying to sneak in.
You didn't hear me compliment you. Let me compliment you again. How much we enjoy working with you and the Department of Rehabilitation and your staff.
Oh.
It's the truth.
It's the truth, and she's saying it right now.
Our second goal in the master plan is health reimagined. So for many of us in the room, we don't want a strictly medical model. So this is how can health be much broader to include social services, social supports, and all the things we need to live independently at home. Meals, home modifications, transportation, that's all part of health. Our third goal is, and that's a big part of CalAIM, if you've heard about the new transformation of our Medi-Cal program, it's how we're reimagining how we deliver care, whether it's Medi-Cal, Medicare, veterans care, to really put do a whole person view and make sure people get much more than their medical needs met. The third goal is inclusion and equity, not isolation. And coming out of the pandemic, we're really concerned about the long-term effects of isolation. Our fourth goal is caregiving that works. So this is the paid workforce, especially the direct care workforce, like in-home supportive services, home care, but also family and friend caregivers who need a lot of support and training and resources too. And then the last is affording aging. So how do we tackle the high cost of living in California? During the pandemic, the only group that fell into poverty was older adults. Wow. So some of the temporary funding that was made available from the federal and state government helped other populations, but didn't help older adults. Today, more than 20 states are following our example and trying to develop their own master plans for aging. And because of California's example, they are including disability in their master plans, just as California did. So I wanted to touch on, you know, the so what's. Okay, we got this plan. It's great. It's underway. I wanted just to fill you in on the things we're working on this year so that you can join in what's happening right now, where we're making the most progress. The first is I wanted to share that we're doing a home and community-based services gap analysis statewide, all 58 counties. We're looking at Medi-Cal and non-Medi-Cal, and we're looking to see what's available up and down our state. We know that there are huge pockets of the state where there's nothing or very little, or there's a huge waiting list. So we're working together with the Department of Healthcare Services. They're doing the Medi-Cal side. The Department of Aging is doing the non-medical side. And we're going to be able to point to the governor and the legislature and say, here's where the holes are, here's where the gaps are. And then when we have resources, we know where to direct them to build up capacity and infrastructure. I'm glad Joe's here to talk about our No Wrong Door system and the Aging and Disability Resource Connections. We've been partnering with the Department of Rehabilitation and the state's independent living centers to develop local programs that are a hybrid between the Area Agency on Aging and the independent living center that can assist people in care transitions, information and referral, options counseling. We're about more than halfway, half of the state is covered. The goal is to cover the whole state, have a baseline, and then build that system up to really help people stay in their homes, live independently, and wrap around the services like housing and transportation and home modifications and job training and whatever it takes to wrap around, you know, using the ILCs and the AAAs.
Yeah, thank you.
And we just got a federal grant to, it was a competitive grant to develop a state governance council to oversee that. And that's really important because to do this well, lots of different departments need to be working together. So we have the resources to build that governance council. The other thing we're going to be working on over the next 2 years is a caregiver equity roadmap. So what we have found, you know, in long-term care nationwide and in our state, about 65% of all care is provided by unpaid family and friends, and they're often forgotten. The Biden administration put out a caregiver plan, the first ever for our country last year. We're taking that plan and we're Californiaizing it. And we're going to look and see, like, you know, what do we need to do here to support family caregivers? This will involve the regional centers, the independent living centers, and the caregiver resource centers. We're also focusing quite a bit on behavioral health. We're really concerned about the impacts of the pandemic on mental health and wellness. We've had shootings this year in Half Moon Bay and Monterey Park where the assailant was an older adult and the victims were older adults. So we're really looking at how can we pull older adults and people with disabilities along in the behavioral health continuum and make sure that their needs are addressed just as children and youth have their needs addressed. Two more items and then we'll move to what you might be involved in. We're focused on people who are precariously housed. There's a lot of research that says sometimes people only need $300, $400 to stay in their home. And if they can't stay there, they become homeless or they spiral with, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars of, you know, new lease payments and move out and relocation costs. There's a proposal in the governor's budget through the Medi-Cal program to provide 6 months of rental assistance for people who are precariously housed. And there's communities around the state that are offering this. And we're looking at those communities, San Diego, Santa Monica, Berkeley. So we're going to see what those local communities are doing to see if we can do more. And then the last thing that we're doing is you may have heard in Washington state, they passed a universal long-term care benefit so that people who aren't yet eligible for Medi-Cal or disability get some assistance. And we're examining that to see what California can do in that space too.
Yeah. But...
yeah, that's my favorite too. And then here are ways that you can get involved personally, individually, locally, or through your agencies. Right now, the Department of Healthcare Services has an open funding opportunity with CalAIM for PATH-sided funding. This is a way for agencies to get some dollars to participate in Medi-Cal to build up capacity and infrastructure. We just took in 30 grants for local areas that are planning around the master plan for aging, and we're about to announce probably about 20, 25 of them will get awards. We'll make sure that you hear who's getting those awards and you can get in on the ground floor in your communities. We also have some workforce initiatives, Cal Grows and the IHSS Career Pathways, so that direct care workforce can get training and stipends on a whole array of topics. I mentioned already the Aging and Disability Resource Connections. We have an advisory council. Sherry Rossler with the Society for the Blind is a new addition to that. And we're looking for ways that we can link arms. And of course, Joe and his staff are very, very involved in the ADRC advisory council and all of that work. And then right now there is a funding opportunity with the Mental Health Services Oversight and Accountability Commission, where there's $20 million that's going to go to local communities to do more of the prevention work on with behavioral health, early intervention. And then that's just a lot for a Saturday to throw at all of you. So I will stop, but I'm so happy to take any questions, and I'm just really honored to be here and appreciate the partnership and the collaboration.
Thanks, Susan. If you've got questions here in the room, please stand up or raise your hand. And I believe we have mic runners that'll get a mic to you. And if you've got questions on Zoom, raise your hand and we'll alternate back and forth, I guess. Do we have anybody in the room with a question?
We have a couple hands in Zoom already.
Okay. Why don't we take a Zoom question then?
All right. Just one second. Lori.
Hi, my name's Lori, and I think it's a very significant thing that you work on people staying in their homes. But I just want to comment that everything I've taught, any of these aging things that come up and that I listen to, no one mentions dementia. My husband now lives in a memory care facility. And when he started having difficulties, I tried to have private caregivers, which they did not work out. And when I cared for him on my own, he left the house and climbed over a fence, and I had to get some help. I'm totally blind. Luckily, Mike and I both had long-term care insurance that we purchased while working for the federal government. So he now lives in a memory care facility, and the long-term care will cover for the next couple of years. Then I'll have to figure out what to do. But, you know, our situation is in a class that you aren't, you know, that you don't address. And I understand that. But I guess I just would like someone somewhere in an aging conversation to mention dementia. Thank you.
Lori, thank you so much for that comment. And I apologize that I did not mention Alzheimer's and dementia. And that's actually shocking, because before I took this role, I worked for 10 years for the National Alzheimer's Association. And that is my life's work, and my heart is with you. My mom lived with and died with Alzheimer's disease. And I apologize that I overlooked that. Part of what's happened in California is, at the same time the governor started the master plan for aging, he also asked our former First Lady Maria Shriver to lead an Alzheimer's prevention and preparedness task force. And they worked on parallel paths. And we took all of Maria Shriver's recommendations and folded them into the master plan for aging. So we have dozens of initiatives that relate to Alzheimer's and dementia, and I'd be so happy to follow up with you. I'm so grateful that you and your husband have long-term care insurance, because so few people do. And Alzheimer's is considered the most expensive disease in America because of the high cost of home care, assisted living, memory care, and nursing home placement. So I really appreciate you raising that question. And I'm so sorry I didn't mention that in my remarks.
I don't know. Am I still unmuted?
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate that. And thank you. The one thing I also wanted to say is, for any married couple, please get power of attorney for your mate. That's a mistake Mike and I didn't do, and I had to have a hearing to get authorization to, you know, take control of a lot of things, and it would have been so much easier. But it, you know, we always felt like, oh, we're fine, we'll do it someday, and someday just came and went. So that's just another comment. Please, every couple, get power of attorney for your mate. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any questions in the room?
Yeah, my name's Joni Apache, and my husband also has dementia. He's had it for 5 years, and he just got to the point where we couldn't keep him at home anymore, and we don't have long-term life insurance, but we do have some retirement, which we're using up fairly quickly. He's in a home, but there's no services for him, nothing to, I don't know what to do for him to keep him busy, to try to make his mind a little, you know, at least stay where it is for a while. But there's nothing. And when you call the number for aging, the Department of Aging in the city of Sacramento, they connect you to UC Davis. And if you don't belong to UC Davis or you don't have Medi-Cal, you can't take part in it. They said, oh, you'll have to go back to Kaiser and do that.
Joan, I'm sorry you're getting the runaround, and that's extremely frustrating on top of everything else that you're dealing with. So the number for the Department of Aging, I didn't share that. I'm happy to share it, but I also think anyone living with Alzheimer's or dementia, the Alzheimer's Association is a private voluntary health organization that can also provide free support and services. And they can also help with some of the advanced care planning and referrals. I can give you their number. I have it memorized from working there from 10 years, but all of our area agencies on aging receive funding for Alzheimer's and for caregivers. And so you should be knocking on their doors too. Sure. So for the Alzheimer's Association, it's 1-800-272-3900. And then I can tell you for the Department of Aging, you can always call 1-800-510-2020, and we'll connect you to whoever's closest to you, based on your area code, where you're calling from.
Okay, and I believe we have another question on Zoom.
Yes, we have a couple more, and it's...
There it goes. Sheila Gunn Cushman. I have just gotten my first desk job in 20 years. I'm 51 years old. I'm trying to take advantage of all the things that are out there for someone who's just getting employed, but they're all set up for 20-year-olds. And so I'm a client of the Department of Rehabilitation receiving job retention services. I've connected with the Work Incentives Program. But I also have IHSS, Medi-Cal, Medicare, Section 8, food stamps, which the current name is not coming to me. And I'm trying to figure out how to make sure that my medical stays all right, whether I lose SSDI, whether I keep it, whether SSI stays, whether it goes. SSI is probably going to go. That's all right. And I'm overwhelmed. And I'm excited about the job, and I love the job, and I'm doing well at the job. I'm struggling with some of the technology, but rehab's helping with that too. Only they're just now starting, and I've been in the job 2 months. I'm overwhelmed. I'm terrified. I'm excited. I'm help. And I say that not so much for myself, because I'll fix myself and I'll ask people questions and I'll look around, and I know a lot about benefits, and what I don't know, I know to ask people and stuff like that. But that's because I've been an advocate for 30 years. So what for the person who isn't? So what for the person who doesn't know what I know? So what for the person who isn't a bulldog and doesn't know how to not give up? What for them?
Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Awesome. I hear that your experience, seasoned, knowledgeable, and still stumped.
The fact of the matter is, I could lose this job because blind people, it's hard for us to get employed. And some of us are lucky to stay employed and do all the right things and know all the right stuff. And some of us don't. And I don't trust that I'll keep this job. Not because I'll do something bad or, you know what I mean? I need to be okay whether I have this job or not. I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm terrified.
Yeah.
What? Okay, do we have any other questions in the room here?
Yes, this is Margie Donovan. And hi there, and thank you for your wonderful presentation. Had a beautiful career working with the Department of Veterans Affairs and working with elderly blind people. Excuse me a second, mud's down. Down. Good boy. Where wonderful services was made available, and the VA has its own nursing care system, and they contract out. One of my huge concerns is I see this happening continuously and wondering how your agency deals with it. People who are losing their sight and elderly often are put in nursing homes because of simple things like they can't identify their medication, strictly blindness related stuff. And if they were referred to proper services and programs, that would keep them out of a nursing home. How is your program addressing that? The other thing that goes along with that is I happen to co-facilitate a weekly support group that is through our Council on Aging and Vision Loss on Zoom. And I think we need more of that because our elderly, when they're losing their sight and just a little bit of sight loss, they think they're going blind. And it's very devastating. And so I think what's important here that I'm looking for from your agency is referrals to programs and services that serve blind people. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for co-facilitating that group on Zoom. That's probably a lifeline for a lot of people, and we really appreciate that. So a couple of things. Again, knock on the door of the Area Agency on Aging and ask them what they can do for you. That's a start. The other is the Aging and Disability Resource Connections. We really, you know, the vision, and I mentioned that the Master Plan for Aging is a 10-year plan, and it won't happen overnight. So we're building the building blocks of a no wrong door system where people more seamlessly and streamlined get connected and referred to the services and supports they need. It's such a maze. It's so hard to navigate. It's hard to know what's local, what's state, what's federal. You know, you're with veterans. So, you know, there's the federal veterans program, there's the state veterans program, there's Medicare, there's Medi-Cal, and the list goes on. So we really, you know, we're building a no wrong door system that will have live help 24/7 and a web portal. It'll be available in all languages, and that's a multi-year technology initiative. But it's to really equalize for the consumer. So the consumer doesn't have to be calling around, but they can start in one place and the back office directs to the right place instead of you having to do all the legwork.
Okay, I think we have time for one more question. So we'll take the one on Zoom. Do we have another question on Zoom?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, hi. Wonderful presentation. Really, really enjoyed the talk and really understand and appreciate the critical nature of considering our aging population as we see people who are over the age of 65 becoming the largest part of our population day by day. My question is really about where are these people looking to seek information? Where are they looking for valuable information that they can utilize for themselves? Where are they collecting their news, their data? We know it's not social media, but from your findings, what is the best channel and way to communicate with these people?
That's such a great question. And we've learned a lot through the pandemic, you know, in trying to get information out to people about COVID and then about vaccines and then about boosters. The sentiment was, you know, put it on social media. Well, that's not how older adults People with disabilities, people with vision loss are getting their information. So we have done a lot of, you know, if you look at, you know, if you stratify by age, older adults still, you know, if sending to the house is the best thing you can do is a mailer. Newspapers, TV and radio are still, you know, the best sources of information, public service announcements. And then we find with many older adults that the key decision maker in the family is somebody younger. It's a child or grandchild who is on social media. So we have to do all of it to reach and then to reach the population. And then if we're looking at languages and culture, we have to try other strategies too, like ethnic media newspapers that might be published only monthly. It's all of the above.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. It's very helpful.
Yeah, Susan, we have a few more questions. Are you able to stay a few more minutes? And
absolutely, absolutely.
I have a question. Great.
Let's take one from the room now.
Hi, I'm Stephanie, and my question concerns the. How's this? Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. Hi, thank you so much for your presentation today. I'm just curious to know if the Master Plan on Aging has a component for individuals who are aging, perhaps aging in their homes and might need to refinance a home or do something. If you're working with a financial institution, you may not... may or may not apply for refinancing. I apologize for the feedback.
So Stephanie, that is not a topic that is currently addressed. So if you're talking about maybe reverse mortgages or equity lines, that's not touched on in the master plan currently. But every 2 years we start anew, and that's part of how we're going to keep this dynamic and relevant over the 10 years. So if that's a growing concern, we'll take note of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And another question on Zoom.
I know, but I have a question right here. Hi, Mrs. Steve.
Yeah, hold on. Let's take a question on Zoom next.
Oh, there is no one.
Okay, great. Then go ahead, Pam.
Hello. Yes. My name is Pamela Metz, and yes, I'm aging. But what I've noticed in the last year I have Kaiser as my health insurance. And what I've noticed in the last year is that they have really, 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 really started to focus on complete health. So, and I have Medi with my, I am 65 almost. So there, almost. But what I've noticed, and I did receive a letter with the list of everything that they're doing, the caregiver, my case manager, everybody's phone number, every program. They've started where they're selling, they have a magazine now that you can a catalog where they give you an extra $100 a month to order stuff that you may not be able to buy over the counter. Mm-hmm. Now, is it accessible for people who are blind? No, but they're making a point of doing something. But that's what I've noticed a change in Kaiser in the last year as a Kaiser patient.
I'm really happy to hear that. And that's part of what the state's trying to do with CalAIM and the dual special need plans to really integrate Medicare and Medi-Cal and look at the whole person and to have some care coordination going on. So happy to hear that. And I'll take that back. Thank you for sharing that. It's not everywhere, right? We're getting started.
Next question from the room.
Okay. Sorry. So we have been working on several bills in this area. The latest one is on skilled nursing facilities, and navigating that has been a little bit overwhelming for us. I did contact our area on aging here in Sacramento, and they don't even screen for vision loss when they do their intakes. Mm. there's no question. And I suggested that they put one in their screening process because they couldn't even tell me if anyone they serve or have served has vision loss. And when you talk to people in skilled nursing facilities, a similar thing comes up. They say, well, we did find through another study that up to 50% of the people in skilled nursing facilities are experiencing some significant vision loss. But when you go to the people serving, they say, well, we're serving them. And then we hear anecdotally, they're not. There's a disconnect between aging and vision loss. And we would like guidance as to how to connect it.
There is a disconnect, and I am not at all surprised to hear that that's what you found out. And, you know, one of the goals of the Master Plan for Aging in the year 2030, 1 in 4 Californians will be over the age of 60. So about almost 12 million Californians. And when that day comes, we need to have screening tools like you just described that catch everybody, not where this one has a good screening tool and looks for vision loss and this one doesn't. So that's part of our work, our shared work in the California Health and Human Services Agency is to standardize and to capture this data so that we can provide better services. So that is in the works, probably not. You're not going to see immediate results, but those risk assessments and standardized assessments and screeners are all things. It includes, you know, cognitive impairment, vision, hearing loss, and a host of other topics that just are not being captured now.
Great. Hi. Hello. Alice Turner here. Just a very quick question. I hear all these amazing programs, and I heard your intro about the fact that for the first time we have a governor, et cetera, that cares. Funding, it sounds like all of this requires substantial, you know, funding. Are you funded for the next 10 years, or if the administration changes, is it a rocky road?
Well, we have... You know, one good thing is we do have, we still have a lot of home and community-based spending plan dollars and the American Rescue Act dollars that are being implemented as we speak that, you know, there's a backlog, a positive backlog of dollars that have flowed to the state, whether it's from the federal government or our state legislature that are just now being implemented. Going forward, I can tell you that we have 4 more years with this governor. And, you know, there are things, like I mentioned, that the big technology projects that are multi-year where we have commitments in place, people won't see the results, but the wheels are turning. That's why it's a 10-year plan. And that's why your advocacy is so important, to know your legislators and to keep the focus on this population.
Thank you.
Okay, Heather, any more questions?
Yes, Steve. This is Libby Ostergaard from Fresno. Since we're talking about aging and vision loss, I think an area that we as CCB needs to hone in on, and possibly your agency, is the eye doctors. And because when I go to the eye doctor for my yearly checkup, I'm going to say a good 90 to 95% of the folks that are waiting in the waiting room with me are over 50. And I think that's an area that we need to tap into because, you know, to them, we're the failures. And of course, we know that that's not true. But we've got to find a way to get into the eye doctors and optometrists and ophthalmologists' office, or even at the schools like UC Irvine and others, where they train, you know, they're getting the medical training and becoming these specialists and doctors. But I think that is extremely important, and we need to develop something of relationship with them.
I 1000% agree with you. And whether it's geriatrics or gerontology, you know, if you asked anyone entering medical school or nursing, you know, almost everyone will say, I want to work with children. You know, very few people say that they want to focus on older adults. And as a consequence, we don't have geriatric and gerontology trained, you know, whether it's physicians, nurses, social workers, and with the 1 in 4 people in our state about to be 60 or older, that's, you know, it's not just the preferred way, it's a necessity. So you're exactly right.
And we'll check one more time, see if we have any questions on Zoom.
No, sir.
Okay, let's take one more from the room then.
All right. Can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Susan, this is Mike Marlin. I'm the director of the Braille and Talking Book Library. We're part of the California State Library.
Yay.
We sent an outreach librarian to your Area 4 aging conference last year, and it was a very positive experience. Great. I'm really enamored of what you all are doing and your leadership so far. And I guess this is sort of an offer as well as a question, and that is, I didn't hear library services mentioned in the master plan. And although I know it may seem like it pales in comparison to some of these other heavyweight issues, and which are so important, but the ability, not only the ability to read, but the ability to seek information and information seeking behavior and practice and reference work for people who are print disabled and blind, where sighted librarians may not understand all the nuances. I'm wondering if we can create a partnership, and if and when those that 2-year cycle comes up, whether we might talk some more about the library and the library system within the state for the blind being part of that master plan. And I have a business card too, which I'm happy to give you.
Yes, I you're right, that is not included now. It could be included in 2 years, and I agree completely with you. So I'd love to follow up with you on that, and we've got time, you know, let's start talking. Yep. Soon, so we develop a good initiative and it gets included, and we've talked to all the right people, and that's how they get in there. Would love to do work on that with you.
I got my business card right.
Okay, I'll you. Grab that on my way out.
Okay,
thank yeah. you.
Thank you all. Thanks, all you readers.
Time for one more question? One more. Okay, let's do one more.
Does Steve have the most magnificent voice? You could be on radio. Oh, you were? Oh, well, okay, yeah.
Hi, I'm Nellie Emerson, and I want to make a comment about a tragedy that happens to many elderly blind people. And I know of an individual who is in their mid-80s, had a fall, dislocated a shoulder, needed surgery, and was told basically, oh, well, at your age, we don't do the shoulder repair surgery. You're just going to have to wear a brace, and it'll take much, and she lives alone.
Oh.
And is blind. And this is the because we are old and we are blind and nobody cares. Mm. So this needs to definitely change, and it needs to change now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I think that's a great closing comment. When Joe, Xavier, and I were at a day of action in the fall, where we had over 500 aging and disability advocates gathered in Sacramento and another 500 on Zoom, the focus was ageism and ableism and racism and how the three of them intersect. And we could spend, I bet we could write a book of all the things that people shouldn't have said in a variety of settings. But I mean, that's just horrible that somebody was told that by a medical professional. And it happens every day all over our state and nation. And that's why I'm so glad you're here giving your Saturday, your Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to be together in person. And, you know, and thank you again for inviting me. It means a lot to be included. I learned a lot from you. I'm going to take it back. And we'll just keep collaborating and partnering and working on the things that we have in common to improve the lives for everyone in California. So thank you. And thank you, Sarah.
Susan, thank you so much. I've certainly learned a lot in the last 45 minutes and appreciate your time and spending it with us this afternoon. I'm going to pass things over now to our second vice president, Rob Turner, who will introduce our next guest.
Well, thank you, Steve. Oh, yeah. Okay. I hope I'm being heard okay. I see these mics are very sensitive. So I'll try to talk loud. But before we get too much older, I think it's time for a door prize. Oh, no. Well, okay. All right. Well, what we can do is we can, let me make a quick comment about accessibility real fast here. Oh, that wasn't me.
It was me.
So it turns out, sitting up here at the head table, these microphones turn on and off when you touch the base. There's no indication for a blind person that anything's happening. I'm sure there's a light that goes on because I can actually feel a little LED right in the middle of the microphone base. So anyway, they could have just made a little beep, you know, like maybe a high beep for off or on. I don't know, whatever. Okay. Let's get down to business. And oh, she came back in for the door prize. Am I popping my peas? Okay. Well, if you can still hear me, I'm going to go with a little further back. All right. Well, while we're waiting for Lisa, I guess we could do the door prize in between the introduction of our next speaker and the speaker and the speech itself. I think that'd be okay. So let's go with that.